And now as we prepare to hear the gospel proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, we do pray that you will inspire us with your Spirit this morning. As we hear your word proclaimed, we pray that you will speak to us, each of us individually. Help us to hear the message that you would have us hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read the passage out of Mark this morning, I do want to reflect for just a moment on what we did yesterday, and the reason it is so pertinent to our scripture passage this morning. You know, yesterday was a time of true joy and celebration as we gathered on the lawn at Mount Zion Christian Church, and we worshiped with and had food with many people of another race, and it was absolutely wonderful to feel the connection that we had through our common faith in Jesus Christ. And we noticed that they took the initiative, they being a small church, but they took the initiative to put all of this together, to order the t-shirts with a message for the community of Floyd, a message of unity. They had two bouncy houses for the children. They had a volleyball net for the older youth. They had volumes of food, and we, of course, helped by providing some of the food that was served there yesterday. And what I noticed, especially with the young people that were there, is that they were laughing. They were having fun together. Children of different races, all laughing together. And they were playing games, and in their eyes, they were all the same. They were all children of God. And that's true for each and every one of us as we move forward into some very trying times right now in the world. We need to remember that we are all children of God. And it is through our common interests and our common devotion to the true teachings of Jesus that we will be able to have an inspiring message for the rest of the world. And it will also bring us great joy. So I am just thrilled to think that we may be doing more in terms of worshiping with our neighbors. I said to Reverend McNeil yesterday, it would be nice if we could have a worship service together. And he said, how about Easter at your church? Wouldn't that be wonderful to have Easter at this church with our neighbors, all celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ?
I second that motion.
You second that motion. So we'll see what we can develop as the time unfolds. But this is the kind of relationship that we are hoping to be able to establish, not just with that church up the street, but with other churches in our community, and even with the unchurched people in our community, people who need to hear the true message of Jesus Christ, a message of love, of compassion, of humility, as well as the message of salvation. So with that, let's hear now the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord. As the author of Ecclesiastes noted, there is a time to keep silence, and there's a time to speak. There are many occasions when it's appropriate to speak, when we want to express an opinion on an important issue, when we want to deepen a relationship with another person, when we want to take our part in social conversation, when we want to offer sympathy or encouragement or understanding to another. But there are times also to keep silent, when we really do not know what to say about an issue, when we can vent nothing but destructive hatred, when we confront a mystery that is beyond our capacity to explain or to control, and when there is such pain that any word is shallow and only a loving presence can suffice. I am reminded when my very dear friends in San Diego lost their 25-year-old son to suicide. I had no words, and they appreciated my silence because it was through our love for one another, through our relationship, they understood that I was grieving with them. It did not require words. But it is not always easy to know whether that it's a time for silence or a time for speaking. Sometimes we talk too much and try to dominate a situation in which we should be more open to the views of others. Sometimes we are silent when we should speak out in opposition to injustice or evil. And sometimes we speak when we do not really know what we're talking about. And I will admit, I have been guilty. As Mark describes the interaction between Jesus and his disciples, he indicates that twice the disciples were silent when they heard what Jesus was saying. Their silence is ambiguous. Their first silence comes after Jesus again tells his disciples that he is going to be betrayed and killed and raised from the dead. But they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Why did the disciples not ask him to explain further? We can understand their hesitation if we discern that they had heard enough to get some idea of what he was talking about, but did not want to believe what he was telling them. It is easier to keep quiet, to pretend that we do not understand, than to ask and run the risk of hearing something that we might not want to hear. But their second silence comes after Jesus asks them what they have been arguing about. This time, the disciples seem to have been silent because they are ashamed to answer. They were silent for on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. It is hard to imagine that the disciples had so little understanding of what Jesus had been teaching them. It's hard to imagine that at least they would understand that Jesus was not looking for greatness amongst themselves, but rather he was looking for disciples who were faithful to his message and his ministry. Disciples who would understand what he meant when he talked about his death and resurrection. And instead, the disciples found themselves arguing amongst themselves about who would be greatest. They still were viewing Jesus as being an earthly king, and they were concerned about who was going to sit on the right or on the left of the earthly king. And they could not fathom what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know, there was one time in my career prior to entering ministry when I supervised a large number of people. And there was a time when we were having a staff meeting and all of the senior managers, all of them very well paid, were sitting around the table and we were talking how we were going to divide up a pot of money that was to be used for merit awards for all employees, those who had gone above and beyond the call of duty. And we had the opportunity to reward them with a small financial reward. And one of the well-paid senior managers spoke up and said, "Well, as long as I get mine, I don't really care how we divide up the rest." As you can imagine, that did not set well with this particular manager who was senior to the one who said that. And my response was, "Over my dead body." And it was at a time when I was struggling to understand what the true purpose of my life was. I was at a point in my life when I was looking for a greater message, a greater significance. And it was around that time that I began to understand that I was not only to be a manager of people, but I was to be a leader of people, and I was to be able to speak a message of hope for not only those who were in senior positions, but for all. Because it was at that particular moment that I realized that it was the lowly employees, the ones who were not well paid, the ones who were struggling to make ends meet, those were the ones who would be most appreciative of being recognized for their work. And it occurred to me that indeed that is the message of Jesus Christ. And it was at that time that I began to think seriously about how I wanted to devote the rest of my life. And soon, of course, I came to understand that I wanted to spend it with the message that Jesus has to offer, that all of us are equal in the eyes of God. None of us are greater than another. And it is through that message of Jesus Christ that we all can come to feel that we are serving a loving and equal God. And so I share that story with you because it was indeed a very profound turning point for me personally. But you know, it must have been difficult for the disciples when they realized that even if they were silent, Jesus somehow knew what they were talking about, as it is difficult for us to come to the awareness that our lives are open before God. Jesus proceeds to speak a word to them, and he speaks it to us today. "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and a servant of all." He illustrates what he is talking about as he takes a child, puts his arms around the child, and declares that in welcoming the weak and the helpless, they will be welcoming him. They will be welcoming Jesus himself. And again, we can note how difficult it was for the disciples, as it is for us, to grasp that Jesus was saying to them, in this passage, he tells them that if they want to live in the way of one who lives his life for others, they will identify with children and welcome them. For they are in need of love and protection. And in the very next chapter of Mark, people were bringing children to Jesus, but the disciples were trying to send them away. It says in Mark 10, beginning with verse 13, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And that's the message for us today, that we are not to be arguing amongst ourselves of who is the greatest, but rather welcoming Jesus as we would welcome a child. Finally, it can be noted that the word of Jesus, that those who would be first must be last, that those who could find status before God will do so as they serve the needy. And it comes with a great liberating freedom. When we serve the needy, when we truly serve God, we are liberated by his grace. You know, I am saddened and oftentimes even outraged when I see such blatant arrogance in our world. I think it is sad for a person to be so consumed with what others think about him, to be so insecure in who he is, or that he must speak publicly to seek that kind of recognition. And so for all of those who encounter arrogance in their lives, let us just remember that it's for them that we pray. We pray for the true grace of Jesus Christ to come upon them and to help them understand that no one is greater in the eyes of God. We all are children of God. With that, we again remember unity in the community to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, again today, we do come to you with such joy in our hearts, knowing that you are with us and that you are a risen and living Savior. We thank you for the opportunity to share in your love with our neighbors. And we pray that there will be new and more opportunities for us to do this. And Lord, we pray that as our love for you grows, that our witness to the rest of our community will also grow. Lord, we thank you for the way you have blessed so many of us with a bounty of many gifts. But for those who today are struggling, for those who grieve, for those who suffer from illness, we just lift all of this to you, Lord, and pray that all of those who need to feel your presence will feel it in a very special way. We do continue to remember the Vest family in our prayers as they continue to grieve the recent loss of our dear Susie. Lord, we remember the family of Tim's aunt. We pray that they too will feel your comfort and your compassion. Lord, we thank you that you saved Jody and Allie and Chloe from serious illness in the car accident, but we do pray that you will be with them and help them to recover emotionally from the shock of such an accident. And we especially pray for little Chloe who worries. We also, Lord, lift up Mike's best friend who was killed in a car accident. We pray for his family. We pray that you will show them the way forward in this tragic, tragic time. So, Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who does draw us together, draws us together as a community. And we pray in his name, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.